This extract is from Remains of the Day by Kazuo Ishiguro, and it occurs in the first half of the book, in day two. And it's a flashback from the 1920s and 1930s. The story itself occurs between two times. One, Stevens' flashbacks of the 1920s, and the second, of the present time in 1956. So the protagonist of the story is Stevens, a butler of Darlington Hall, and his career has gone from 1920s to the present day 1956, although an American gentleman, Mr. Faraday, owns the place now. The two main characters of the extract, of this extract, are Stevens himself and Mr. Cardinal, who is the godson of Lord Darlington, the former owner of Darlington Hall and Stevens's former employee. In this extract, prior to this extract, Mr. Cardinal, Mr. David Cardinal, Mr. Reginald Cardinal's father, and Lord Darlington's good friend, requested Lord Darlington to convey the facts of life to his son, because his son is getting married. But unfortunately, Lord Darlington gives this task to Stevens, which is ironic because Stevens, as we know, has been repressed most of his life, as we see through the story. And the humor in the situation is that we know that Mr. Cardinal probably has more of an understanding of the facts of life than Stevens himself. And we know this because throughout the book, the audience seems to have more of an understanding of what is happening and what is going to happen than Stevens himself. And we can perhaps say that Stevens's narrative itself is slightly unreliable because it's in the first person. And as we see through the book, Stevens isn't exactly the best judge of character. So prior to this extract, once again, Stevens has already approached Reginald Cardinal about this situation, about conveying the facts of life. And this, we are brought back to that situation in the line, pulled his case away from me and clutched it to his chest with both arms. It's a reference to the last time they met and when Stevens tried to convey the facts of life. That was a disaster. And as we see in this extract, this one ends up a miscommunication as well. The extract is significant because of the misunderstandings and the humor established, of course, but also there are larger themes that are connected with this extract, which I will be explaining. So I will start by talking about first the imagery and the relevance of time in this extract and in a sense the entire book. So I'd say it's significant because the line, I misjudged slightly the timing of my emergence in the first paragraph, it's not, the entire book is based on time. It's called The Remains of the Day, and the title itself speaks of all the time that Stevens has missed. So it's not just in this situation where he's misjudged slightly the timing. It's throughout the book where he's misjudged his timing and missed so much. So that's one thing. And bringing on the imagery, throughout the story we see Stevens as a stoic and strict figure who doesn't engage in humorous activities or anything of that sort. But the imagery, placed my person behind the bush, crossed the grass quickly, it gives us a very childish image of Stevens, which is different from what we have seen before. And it's almost gives us a scene of a game of hide and seek, which is completely ironic because it's Stevens we're talking about. Again, when he says engaged him in a conversation in an impromptu manner, impromptu, it's again a reference to time. His plans in this situation were not the only things that went wrong. His plans throughout the book, for example, when he spends his entire trip out of Darlington Hall to get Miss Kenton back, none of that worked out because, well, he's not the best planner and it's completely out of his comfort zone. Okay. Next, we go to the line, if I come straight to the point, sir. I'm going to speak about now the next theme, which is Englishness and Americanism. And throughout the book, it's like Ishiguro presents to us stereotypes of a typical British person and a typical American person. And we see this not only through the different times, as in the past and the present, but also in the past itself, where we have characters like Mr. Cardinal. So, as for If I May Come Straight to the Point, Sir, we see that Stevens never actually comes straight to the point. And we can relate this to the way Lord Darlington never actually comes to the point either. For example, when he's asking Stevens to convey the facts of life to his godson, he can't actually... He hovers around the topic and beats around the bush until Stevens himself offers to do it. And this can be taken, according to Ishiguro, according to what we see Ishiguro has written, as a British way of talking. This can be compared and contrasted to someone like Mr. Faraday, who in the beginning of the book we see approaches the topic of lady friends and Stevens' love life quite directly. And we also see this later in the paragraph, in the book, when Mr. Cardinal approaches Stevens about Lord Darlington's involvement with the with Hitler and the whole anti-Semitism concept. And we see that he's more straightforward than any of the Britishers presented to us in the book itself. Another way humor and obviously misunderstanding is established through this entire text is that Stevens is trying to speak about the facts of life using euphemisms and not actually getting straight to the point, whereas, and at the same time, Mr. Cardinal is oblivious to what Stevens is trying to say. But as we read on, I'd say that, in my opinion, the audience would question whether Mr. Cardinal is actually as oblivious as he seems. That's what brings out humor. He speaks about how he's more of a fish man himself and how he knows all about fish, fresh water, and salt. But we see later, for example, when Mr. Cardinal approaches Stevens and says to him that Hitler's using Lord Darlington as a pawn, we see that he's not as dumb as Stevens assumes him to be. So we know that he has a really good understanding of what's going on. So it can be assumed that Mr. Cardinal is simply pulling Stevens' leg and trying to put him into an uncomfortable situation, which is similar to what Mr. Faraday did in the present time in 1956 when he speaks about his love life. Next I'll speak about the main concept of the book, which is dignity in the point of view of Stevens. So when he says, "Excuse me, sir, I must attend to him straight away," he goes away from the uncomfortable situation in the name of duty, which is his job, but it's also seen through the book that he uses this in situations which are completely inappropriate. For example, when his father is on his deathbed and about to die, in the past time, he leaves his father to attend to Monsieur Dupont, in the name of duty, because he thinks that if he can remain calm and keep his composure in the face of duty, then that would make him a great butler. That's not the only notion that he feels would make a great butler. For example, as for Miss Kenton, throughout his life, we see that he's only looking at what makes a great butler, and he's trying to replicate it. And he's so caught up in this that he wastes his whole life in just trying to get the notion of a great butler and dignity. And he's so wrapped up in this that he misses the signs that Miss Kenton presents to him, that she has feelings for him. And similarly, he ignores the fact that he feels really similarly for Miss Kenton. And so that's one thing he loses in the book, her love. Even at the end of the book, he doesn't actually get her. And again, speaking of dignity, he feels that dignity throughout the beginning of the book, and through most of the book actually, he thinks that dignity is remaining calm and composed. For example, he brings a parallel to a situation in India where a butler finds a tiger in the dining hall and has to kill it and remove of its carcass. And he thinks that that is a perfect situation of dignity. So that's how he starts thinking dignity is. But ironically, towards the end of the book, when he's in the present, when he's in a car ride with a Dr. Carlyle, he says that dignity comes down to having the sense of not removing one's clothing in public. But which is sad, because you think all this time he's been thinking dignity is so much more, but then you see that he's brought it down to not removing one's clothing in public. And although that's tragic and sad, you see, in a sense, Stevens's character development and how his thoughts have changed, and how maybe towards the end there's hope that he doesn't only believe that dignity is the most important thing. Another quote in the extract itself is when he says, "With the arrival of spring, we will see a change, a very special sort of change." Change, I would say, is another significant part of the extract, of the story, and is significant in the situation. It's humorous, because in this case, Stevens is talking about a change, facts of life, humans, nature, trying to use it as a euphemism to convey his thoughts. But we see that in the book, Stevens is always shying away from change. It's uncomfortable. It makes him unfamiliar, and therefore he doesn't want to enter the situation. But Stevens, like a lot of characters in other stories, does not like change. And we can see this when Miss Kenton enters Darlington Hall at first. When Lisa enters, he's uncomfortable with it. But we see through the book that even though there's subtle changes, like his notion of dignity, change does happen. And it's not just a change in spring, according to Stevens, for the extract. It's a change on the whole. Through the book, we see a change.
Let me stop you there and just ask a few questions. One of the things you said earlier on in your commentary was that, that Stevens is not exactly the best judge of character. Can you just clarify what you meant by that?
I'd say it's not just the best judge of character, but best judge of situations, best judge of notions. I think that's what I meant. So, like I said, he thought that dignity was remaining calm and composed, but that's not the case, because he used that to not be there for his father, to not be there for Miss Kenton. So I'd say he's not exactly the best judge of a situation. And again, in this extract itself, you see that he treats Mr. Cardle as if he were a child, as if he knew much less than Stevens. But in reality, Mr. Cardle knows more than Stevens. So I'd say he didn't actually judge him correctly. And a really significant character he didn't judge correctly was Lord Darlington, of course. Throughout his career, he was blindly loyal to Lord Darlington and didn't take into consideration what was going on in the meetings, even though he knew, maybe he knew somewhere in his mind that he was being used as a pawn, that Mr. Cardinal was right. And when he had to fire the two Jewish maids, he knew that it was wrong, but he was so blindly loyal to Lord Darlington that he completely missed the bigger picture.
Okay. I think you're talking, in terms of this extract, about the absurd and comic nature of the incident in the garden. In the context of the novel as a whole, in 1956, what do you think the author might be suggesting about the nature of Britishness and British identity in this historical period?
Well, for one thing that comes to my mind is that when we look at 1956, there was a lot of humiliation that Britain had to face, and America started becoming a superpower. So I think that's reflected in a way, in the way Mr. Faraday now owns Darlington Hall, and everything's the same. I mean, he does tell Miss Kenton later on that about the things that have changed and about the things that have stayed the same, but it's like Stevens comes with the package. He even calls it a package later on to Miss Kenton. And I think that Mr. Faraday owning Darlington Hall is a way that shows that America was taking over, in a sense, the British way of working and Britain itself. So I think it's just a reflection of how things have changed.
Okay. Quickly, if you look at Stevens' language here, and Mr. Cardinal's language as well, contrast that to, say, Mr. Faraday and Mr. Lewis. How is it different? I I know Mrs. Faraday doesn't speak here, but you know, how do they differ in terms of the speech?
For one, I'd say Mr. Cardinal and Mr. Faraday, Mr. Lewis, all of their ways of speaking are more informal in comparison to Stevens's. For example, Stevens has a more, when he's narrating to us, with even without dialogues, he has a lot of interjections like say and I believe, and I think that is quite different from the way Mr. Faraday speaks. And obviously a main thing is that they get to the point. The Americans are shown getting to the point.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you.